Thank you for joining us for this message. Whether you are watching for the first time or are simply catching up on a message you missed, we are so glad you are connecting to God's Word today. Our hope is that as you listen to the message, you will experience a real encounter with God. Please consider giving financially to support God's work through our ministry. You will find several options to do that by clicking on the word give in the menu on our website at kentwoodcommunitychurch.com. May you be inspired by the word today.
So, 19 years ago, my wife and I moved to Madison, Wisconsin to plant a church. And I was told that I needed to meet this person. And it was a marketplace person. And here's what I know. I know that 98% of you are marketplace people. And God has called you to run out in the marketplace. And I know that most of the messages that you get from a stage like this, you wish were directed more towards you and for you to run out in the marketplace. Well, our prayer this morning is that you're going to have a sense of your spirit being filled up. Because 19 years ago, I met this wonderful guy. When I moved to town, people kept telling me, you got to meet this Dave Gary guy. So I did a bunch of different things and tried to get a hold of this Dave Gary guy and finally got a hold of him. And we're going to tell you maybe about a conversation, maybe not, but this much I would say, what God started that day was this beautiful relationship between a pastor bloke and a wonderful marketplace person who's doing amazing things for the kingdom in the marketplace. And I don't know about you, you have days that you look forward to. I've been looking forward to this day for many, many, many months, actually for 2 or 3 years. And when we were in this time of transition, I went to the team and I begged them and I said, can you trust me with just one Sunday? Have I built enough credibility here that you'll trust me with one Sunday to bring in my friend Dave Gary just to share from his heart? And they did. They said, yes, fine, we'll trust you. And God moved powerfully in the first service. So would you help me welcome my good friend Dave Gary to the stage? And Dave's going to come from Madison, Wisconsin. So Dave's in the health club business. I'm really glad that you don't look incredibly buff, because then I would feel that much.
Yeah. Dunkin' Donuts.
But Dave, I just feel that in my spirit. And you have to know, we've done this many times before, and every time it's different. This is not cookie cutter. Every time we're just asking Holy Spirit to guide and direct us. And by the way, Dave this time brought his brother Ted, and his sister Julie, and his daughter Jessie, who are sitting back with my daughters. And would you just welcome Ted and Julie and Jess, who are sitting back here. And they're awesome friends. And but I'm wondering if you would share with folks how you got involved in the healthcare business in the first place, and the doors that God first opened up for you when you were a young man. And let's take it from there.
It was kind of simple. I was working, and I was out in I sold stereos. At a stereo store, and these two gentlemen came in and they were going to build a health club, and they needed their equipment for their aerobic studio, they called it back then, and I happened to be the person out of a 30-person sales staff that served them, and hit it off really well with them. And the following Monday they asked me to come over to see the facility, and when I was there they offered me a job. So they wanted to know if, when I was 19 years old, if I wanted to move to Clearwater, Florida and start a pre-sale for a health club. Well, it didn't take very long, being from Wisconsin, being winter, thinking about at 19, do I want to go to Florida? So I said yes.
And so you end up going down and helping them a bit in Florida, and things kind of get interesting there. But eventually, they invite you to Madison. And talk a little bit about that.
You know, the reason that I came over here today is a couple-fold. One is to tell you that I genuinely, deeply believe that God loves you just like he loves me. I really deeply, deeply believe that. And I hope that somehow during this service, the Holy Spirit will minister to your heart and you will actually believe that for yourself. that he really deeply loves you? Because sometimes I think we think, well, he loves him and he loves her, but what about me? Well, he loves us deeply. He's a great father. So back to the story, and that's usually what we do, is just share a story or two. I remember moving up in that company, getting better at what I did, and then I had an opportunity to become a general manager, and you all know, you're all in the marketplace, most of you. That's a big deal when you're young. That's really exciting. All right, so it's a Sunday night. They're having the mass meeting with the whole company, and the president and the vice president are going to invite everybody and then introduce us. And so I remember standing over here on the side waiting, and it's a couple minutes before it's time to be introduced. And quite frankly, I don't even know what I'm doing, so I'm not sure what I'm going to say or anything. But as I'm getting close to being introduced, I remember this somewhere between my chest and my belly button, somewhere right in here, this gentle question. I don't hear God in my ears. Quite frankly, I don't hear anything very well in my ears anymore, but I don't hear God that way. Do you ever have a knowing, like right in here? You know what I mean? That you just know that that's what God is saying? Well, that's what happened to me. And here's the question. Would you put me first? Would you put me first? And I just knew that that was a question from the Lord. And I'm probably like you. I'm like, are you kidding me? Here? I mean, this is work. This is out in the real world. And yeah, Sunday morning I will at 11, but not, come on. I mean, I don't even hardly know these people. And it happened a couple times as I was getting ready to be introduced. And then they introduced me. I don't know what that means. What does that mean? Put him for, how do I even do that?
And hang on just 1 second. Imagine it's your first day of work. You are the new employee. You're the new general manager of the bank. You're the new accountant. You're the new teacher. You're the new HR person. You're the new whatever. You're the new mechanic. Blue collar, white collar, orange collar, I don't care. It's your first day. And the management's about to introduce you as the general manager, and it's your first day. And Holy Spirit says to you, will you put me first? And you're off stage, and he's saying that to you, and then you're walking on stage, and he says it to you again, will you put me first? And then, so take it from there.
And what's really cool about this is, I wouldn't have done that on my own. So the only reason I was even thinking that is because I know the Lord said it. So I wouldn't have, I'm not recommending that you go out and do this way. Unless the Lord speaks to you, then I'm going to tell you a story in a second. I'd highly recommend it. So I get introduced, and they hand me the microphone, and I say, it's great to be with you guys. I'm all excited about what we're going to get started doing tomorrow. But before I say anything else, I'd just like to take a minute and put God first. So I ducked my head down, and I had a mic in my hand like this, and I started to say the Lord's Prayer. Holy cow, that's a long prayer. It like seemed like it took forever. Well, some of the ladies in the front heard me and started to sort of pray, and a couple of the bodybuilder dudes in the back there kind of chuckled a little bit. But what was really interesting was nothing very dramatic happened. It wasn't like the earth shook, or it wasn't like anybody looked at me. They didn't fire me, nothing like that. But something happened to me, and I've told Pastor, the only thing I can describe it is I knew I deeply pleased my Father in heaven. And it was like there was a deposit put in me. I don't know how to describe it any other way. I didn't earn anything, but I obeyed. That's all I can say. So life goes on, work for them for a while, end up stepping away from that company eventually as I saw how they were actually doing things internally. I didn't like it. Got a chance to get in my own health club. And I ran that because an older man helped me. Ran that for a lot of years, probably 6 years. And then I went across town to some older gentlemen that had another health club on the other side of town. So I'm probably 26 years old, and I go across town, and they're friends with my senior partner. And I said, you know, you got a club on this side of town. I don't want to compete against you. Could I maybe make a deal with you and buy this one? And then at 26 years old, I'd have the one on both sides of town. Well, if you're in business and you have the two operations on both sides of town, and there's the reciprocity between the two of them and everything. It's critically important. It is exciting. So we had those meetings, and they said, after many, many meetings, yeah, I think we'll do this.
Yeah, so they think, okay. Again, if you've ever been to Madison, maybe you've seen a picture or whatever, but Madison definitely has a distinct east side of town and west side of town, definitely. And even more, I would say even more pronounced than Grand Rapids. Because in the middle is the Capitol building, and it's got an isthmus there and two lakes and all this kind of stuff. So Dave, the Lord had helped Dave with this financial partner to have a club on the east side of town, and he really is feeling like he wants to have this club on the west side of town. So they spend months and months and months doing this deal, and it's finally the day when that deal is going to go down. So
yeah, this is a day I'll never forget. So I come off the elevator. I'm at the bank. Now, just think about this for a second. You're 26 years old, and if you walk in that room right there, you don't even have any money, but if you walk in the room and you sign your name on those papers, you get to buy that health club because other people are helping you financially. I could taste it. I was so excited. I mean, it was just like, you got to be kidding. That's my dream. I'll never forget this the rest of my life. I opened the elevator door opened. I stepped out, and right in that same spot, I heard stop. I could, no, okay, there is an enemy, right? It had to be the enemy. It can't be the Lord. I mean, but this is really firm. Like if your kids were running out in the street and you yelled, a car's coming, stop, it was kind of like that. Like, I'm so frustrated. I was sure the Lord sent me over here. I've been praying about it. I've been working on this. The deal's right there, and now I'm right here, and I'm supposed to stop. Now, if I go in that room with the top attorneys, accountants, and business people in our city, some of them, and I don't do this deal right now, I know that I'm going to slaughter my reputation in my city. I just flat out knew it. It's like, this is going to be really bad. But I really deeply know that God loves me, and I deeply love God. So if I go in that room and do it Dave's way, then I'm doing it Dave's way.
And guess who? And how much were they selling you the club
for?
Well,
that back then it was just over $1 million, which, you know, was for me, it was a fortune at that time in my life. Nobody saw that. Nobody heard that. I just sneak in there and sign my name on it, and there we go. Except I couldn't do that because that would be my kingdom. And so I got to go in there and just get humiliated. I'm going to do it myself to myself. I walked in the room and I said, I don't know how to explain this, but I think you know I pretty much pray about stuff before I do it. And for some reason, I'm not supposed to do this deal today. Oh, man, if looks could kill, I wouldn't be standing here right now. They were mad. I mean, mad. And they're looking at me like I'm a lunatic, you know. It's like, what is wrong with this guy? So I didn't really know what to do except kind of on the way out the door say, I'll square up with the accountants and everybody, the attorneys, and I sort of walked backwards out the door and got back in the elevator and went. And, Pastor, I was hurt. I was almost angry. I was so frustrated. And it's like, and then I'm having this conversation with the Lord, like, what the heck? You brought me all the way over here. You get me this, that doesn't seem like something you would do. The only thing I had in my heart at that moment, the only thing left was, if that was you, Father, I obeyed you. That was it.
I want you to try and put yourself in that moment of obedience. Because there are times when Holy Spirit encourages you to do things, and you think you're following him. I'm following him. Then you get to a certain spot, and every once in a while, either he says no or something is blocked, and it makes no sense. And you do get frustrated, and you do get mad. You think, God, what is with this? But that's not the end of the story.
Well, sometimes I think the Lord checks our hearts and find out, whose kingdom did you come here to build? You going to build David's kingdom, or are you going to let me establish my kingdom through you? So this is a true story. What happened? I went back to the original health club, and I went back to work. And I'm like you. I work hard. It doesn't just happen. You have to really hustle and work and do your job. So I did that, and a year goes by, and I've kind of gotten sort of over it, but still didn't understand exactly what happened. This is the truth. The phone rings one day, and back then they had a cord, you young guys. It's a circular kind of squiggly thing that connected to the wall. My partner says, "Hey, David, are you sitting down?" I said, "Yes, as a matter of fact, I am. How you doing?" He's all excited about something. I could tell in his voice. He says, "You're not going to believe what just happened." I said, "What?" And he said, "The owners of the club on the other side of town that you went to see, remember? You walked out of there that day?" "Yeah, I remember." "They just left my office. They're landlords. And they own a huge centers, and they own that fitness center. They said they're getting out of the health club business. They said if you'll come over and sign the same lease that they've signed internally amongst themselves for the past many years, David, they're going to hand you the keys to the front door of the health club." Like, what do you mean? For how much? "And they don't want your money." Our money. It would have been his money. "They don't want his money. They're going to hand you the key to the front door." I said, I could hardly understand it. It's like, "You've got to be kidding me. You mean the dream that I wanted over there that you told me stop?" And I walked away kind of sulking and pouting, but in obedience. 1 year later, my Father in heaven handed me the keys to the front door to the whole thing, gave me every piece of exercise equipment. It was a 28,000 square foot, brand new, open 24 hour a day fitness center, swimming pool, hot tub, steam room, the whole deal, indoor running track. It was really, really nice. And he handed me the key to the front door, didn't pay one penny to them. And the next 30 days, it was like the Holy Spirit said, "Ready, set, go." And people from the city flocked into our fitness centers. Today, there are 48,000 Princeton Club members in Madison, Wisconsin. I gotta tell you this. Remember that day in my early 20s, and my first job, like you guys, young guys, my first job, and I went up and stood on a platform, and I had the Holy Spirit in the real world, in real time, in the marketplace, go, "Would you put me first out here? I know they'll put me first on Sunday morning, but would somebody put me first out here? Because this is my kingdom too, you know. Would somebody, I'm looking for someone, would you be willing to put me first?" And I said, "Yes." The platform I was standing on that night when I said the Lord's Prayer was inside the fitness center that a decade later, my Father in heaven handed me the keys to the front door of.
I think for a marketplace person, it can, you somehow think that people on stage are uber spiritual and okay, that's whatever, but can God really work in my life? Can he do supernatural things as a teacher, as an accountant, as a mechanic, as a banker, as a lawyer, as a fitness health owner? See, the word of God says in Colossians 3:17, "And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus." And I think what will happen is that if we'll get up in the morning and recognize the fact that the Heavenly Father loves us and that he's empowered us and gifted us to do the things that he's called us to do out in the marketplace. Can I just tell you, Dave has gifts that I don't have. He can do things in the marketplace I could never do. I could never do. And I think what happens is that we devalue ourselves as marketplace people way too often. God has called you, he's gifted you to go out in the marketplace, to do amazing things. 53% of Americans say that they will not walk in the door of a church today. What does that mean? What that means is that marketplace people have to feel empowered and called by God to go be his person out in the marketplace, to be who he has called them to be out in the marketplace. You are God's person in the marketplace. God's called you to go out there. This is just the huddle time. That's all Sundays are, our huddle times, for us to hear God's word and be encouraged and worship him, but then to go out in the marketplace. But to do it, understanding who we are. And my friend David's got this great story. So you had health clubs, and your daughter Jessie is here. Would you go back and tell us, what was it like when they were growing up?
Yeah, can I add this to what you just said real quick? You know, if you're like me, you probably think if you were really holy, you would get out of business, and you would sell whatever you have, and then you would become a missionary in Africa or something like that. That's what a lot of business people think. I kind of thought that way. I thought, well, if I'm holy, I can't sing, so I will never make the worship team. Maybe I could try to be a pastor. Well, I'd blow the church up if I was a pastor, and quite frankly, so probably would you, so be honest. My heart also is as a father, and I care deeply about my children. And my daughter, our daughter, is a pro golfer. She's with me today, Jessie. And when she shoots a really low score, I just love that little girl. She's 29. When she shoots a really lousy score, I just don't really like her that much.
Actually, I don't think that's true.
Is that the dumbest thing you've ever heard in your life? I love Jessie because she's my flesh and blood. She's my daughter, and I would die for her. Right? That's why I love her. It has nothing to do with her performance. She's not disqualified from being my child because she didn't do a good job at work. I love her no matter what she does. And some of us feel like we're disqualified sometimes because we're not in this position or in that position. But I have news for you, just like in my life, our Father has authority in the entire kingdom, which are not just inside these four walls, but across the region. And he's got people like us positioned in places as his children to move and do things in a city that other people can't do. Picture my little son, Teddy. When Teddy was this tall, he could walk into the fitness center and he could ask a man your age and a woman your age anything. And these people would respond to him and do whatever he asked. It's unbelievable. Just this little guy would walk in and, can I have a grilled cheese, or would you put the baskets down, or whatever. And people 10 times his age would respond and say, absolutely, sure, buddy, no problem. Why? Now think about this. It's because he had gone into the office of his father, and he had spent time with me in the back office. He says, Daddy, can I go shoot hoops and then get a grilled cheese afterwards? And I looked at him and said, son, whatever you want. Yes, absolutely, you can do that. Well, in that little picture, that was my kingdom. And anybody inside that kingdom reported to me. I wrote their paychecks. They knew that was my son. What they didn't quite know but probably understood is that little boy came in the back office and hung out with his father. And when that little boy walked out looking tiny and, you know, whatever he was, but he asked a question, doors got open, things got done, and things happened. Why? Because of his father's authority in that kingdom. The exact same thing is going to happen in this region and in your lives as you obey your heavenly father and you go into his office with him. You hang out. You have some amazing intercessors in this church. You go hang out with your heavenly father. He puts something in your heart from him that he wants to advance his kingdom, and then you step out from that, and when you walk out, he has authority over every banker, every lawyer, every accountant, every realm in the region, and when you come out of that room, you can be just like Teddy, be that little boy and say, my dad said this, bam, and you watch what happens. The authority will go before you. That's how we built the home in Madison, Wisconsin, for pregnant, unwed women. The church, in the sense of this local church, that wasn't what God did. He used guys like you and me in the marketplace, because we can get more done in 30 seconds out there than other people can the rest of their lives. Be honest. I know you know what I'm talking about. Because you already know the banker. You already know the real estate guys. You know how to close the deal. You have the construction companies. And all of a sudden, in a short amount of time, under the anointing of God, because God the Father said, I'm the kind of father that doesn't want to destroy the children. I want to build a home for them. Bring that young girl in when a father, earthly father, that's inept and frail, causes her to leave the home. By the way, where's the guy? But our Heavenly Father turns around and says, hang on a second. Come here, sweetie. I'm going to build you a home. I'm going to give you loving believers in the marketplace, in this home. They're going to welcome you in. Upstairs are bedrooms. Downstairs is a medical clinic. And you're going to stay here for free. Why? Because you're my daughter, and I love that baby because I spoke it into being inside of you. I saw it before it was ever born. I knew it in your mother's womb, and I want to build a place for you to be safe. That kind of stuff happens in the marketplace.
When you walk in the anointing of who you are as a son of the Most High God, as a daughter of the Most High God, you walk differently. Dave, often when he tells the story about Ted or Jess at the Princeton Club when they were kids, and I've been privileged to know Jessie since she was 10, they've always walked with humility. They were never these bratty kids that walked in and said, you know, and there was never that spirit of heart about them at all. Gosh, just messes me up. They've always had this spirit of humility. When we walk into our places in the marketplace with humility and say, God, all I am is a son of the Most High God in the marketplace with the gifts that you've given me. God, all I am is a daughter of the Most High God, and watch what God will do. He'll do supernatural things. Dave, I think maybe it's our last story unless Holy Spirit tells you to do something else, but so God gave him the keys to this West Side Club. And now, as he shared, 48,000 people in Madison, you know, in different places in Wisconsin belong to those clubs. Here's an interesting thing. That West Side Club has been a financial engine that has done some amazing things. About 15 years ago, there was this huge crusade that took place in Madison, Wisconsin. And I just have to tell you, we planted a church there. My wife and I planted a church there. I'll be brutally honest with you, that church does not exist today. There's been over $1.5 million that have been spent in Madison to try and plant churches that don't ultimately make it. And the reason why is because it's such hard soil for the things of the gospel. God invites Dave by his pastor. His pastor invites, and then God calls David into this time where he says, why don't you do a crusade in your town? Now, we're not trying to do this in Grand Rapids today. This isn't like some setup. That's not what it is at all. I just want you to hear a story. So God invites Dave to do that. And you know, at all crusades, they do this thing like they pass an offering plate. And David said, we're not passing an offering plate, not one. As a matter of fact, he got up in a loving, respectful way into the face of the person who was in charge, who was actually speaking at that crusade, and said, you will not take an offering here. You will not take an offering. An offering was not taken. And the crusade was held at the biggest arena in Madison, Wisconsin. And literally thousands and thousands and thousands of people flocked in. And then what did God do on the last?
In one night, 1,479 people gave their hearts to Christ. You know, I'm not here like, you know how you see some of those guys on television talking about a prosperity message or whatever and send your $1,000 in? I don't get that at all. To me, that's close to a con job. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Joseph in the Old Testament. I'm talking about Joseph that was in this stage of his life and it was a complete disaster. And on the journey, then he gets to this stage in his life and some woman chases him out of the house and blames him for some things he didn't do. And then he's in prison. I'm talking about Joseph. And then all of a sudden, in a moment, the Lord moves him into a position of authority in the kingdom. Why? You ever think about that? Why would God want to position you in the marketplace to have you in positions where, because he's getting ready to do something. And what's his end goal? Exactly what Joseph did. He gets raised up into a position of authority and power, and he saves his entire family and family line from starvation. What if you're the person in the marketplace that God is knocking on the door of your heart and say, number one, come into my kingdom and become my son. Let me adopt you, daughter. Come into my kingdom. See what kind of a father I really am. That's the first thing. If you don't know him as your father, oh my gosh, figure out and learn and ask and seek after him. He's the greatest coach, greatest father you could ever have. I would never follow another man's ideas again, ever. Because the one that I follow is the same one that you're following. He has authority over everything. He knows everything. He knows everyone. It's unbelievable. What if he's knocking on the door of your heart to say, yeah, today I'll just surrender my life to you? Or you've already done that, and he said, would you surrender and put me first? Not just willy-nilly, but when I talk to you, will you respond? Would you obey? And what if there's a bigger plan by God himself that says, I want to touch this city, and I want to save the children from eternal death? What if I want to see my kids come into my kingdom? And what if you're the one that helps do it? You know, if I hadn't obeyed and been a part of building that building, a lot of those mommies would have made different decisions with those kids. And why was God trying to take those kids out? I mean, not God. Why was the enemy trying to take those kids out? And why was God trying to save them? What if that next young generation is the generation that helps bring the gospel across the earth? What if the enemy's trying to take them out before they even get started? Every time there was ever a savior, every time there was ever a, what's the word I'm looking for?
Revival.
Moses, deliverer. Mm-hmm. The enemy always tried to take out the little squirts prior to that. The authority, do you know that building, that, I don't know why I'm on that one, but for some reason I need to tell you this. That building in Madison, Wisconsin is completely debt-free, medical center downstairs, rooms upstairs, it's free to come into. Do you know the land underneath that was slated to be an abortion clinic? That's the kind of father you have. He takes young Davids like you, and he says, take your sling and your stone. Take the anointing of God on your life. Take that silly little sling and that silly little stone. Walk out into the marketplace, just like David did before Goliath, and sling that baby and watch what happens, because you're going to sink it right into the forehead of the giant, and you're going to take him down. And what's really going to be fun is you're going to take his sword out and take his head off. Because he defied the armies of the living God. You're those Davids. You're those ones that if you won't try to do it everybody else's way, but you'll just take what you've been trained to do. Jesse, take your golf ball and your club and do it your way. Teddy, do what you do in the health club. Do what you do in the bank. Take your sling. Take your stone. And when the Father says, there's the giant, take him out. In the spirit realm, you wrestle not against flesh and blood, you wrestle against principalities and powers that try to destroy cities. When will the army, when will the children of God rise up and say, I'm surrendered to you, let's do it your way, let's move forward? He shot one stone in that guy's head, the entire enemy ran the other way. They were gone, they fled in fear. What if you're the David? What if you're the I don't know what a female version of David is, but you know what I'm saying. What if you're that person and the Lord says, don't wear Saul's armor. Don't listen to your brothers and sisters telling you, what are you doing here? Well, go back by those silly little sheep you have. You get condescended on. What if you just finally go, you know what? I've had enough of all this. I'm going to be me the way God made me to be. And if the enemy takes me out, so be it. But I'm going to walk out where the Lord tells me to go under the anointing of God. I'm going to take what he equipped me to do, and I'm going to sling it when he says sling it. And I'm going to watch strongholds topple in cities. I'm going to watch. It's not about politics. Politics is not going to solve anything. Jesus isn't a Republican or a Democrat or an independent. He's a king. He's the king, and it's a kingdom. And when that king gives an order and authority, and he says, I want to move in Grand Rapids, and I want to do certain things in Grand Rapids, he's going to look for you, the Davids, who are willing and obedient, who are not going to do it everybody else's way, but going to say, I'm yours 100%. I don't care if my reputation gets slaughtered. I'm yours. I don't care. Doesn't matter. They didn't die for me. You did. You're my savior. You're my king. I'll do it your way, only your way. I won't do it their way. I'll only do it your way. And then you alone, because I did it your way, will get the honor and the glory. That's why in 2 hours, 1,479 people walked forward and gave their hearts to Christ, because we didn't do it a man's way. We did it the king's way.
I don't know where you are on the journey. We're going to close in just a second. Maybe you're that 22-year-old who God is just whispering into your spirit, will you honor me? Maybe you're the 26-year-old who tried to honor him, and you feel like, oh my goodness, what was that all about? Because I tried. It didn't go well. Maybe you're that person that God is just about to do something supernatural in your life. I don't know where you are on the Joseph journey. This much I know. God loves you powerfully, uniquely, individually. And his deep desire is that you would know, however old you are, that you are a child of the Most High God. We're going to pray in just a second. Just before we pray, I don't know, I may think differently about this later, but I look over my left and I see a Jerry DeRuyter who just decided, I'm going to be God, who God wants me to be. And God used him in a powerful way in this city. And I look all around and I just say, how does God want to use you in a powerful way? I look at my friend Dave. And Dave started off by saying, at the very beginning of our talk this morning, he started off by saying, you know, some of you think this is for the person on your right or the person on the left. It's for you. The Father is smitten with you. The Father had you here this morning because he wants to speak to you. Allow him to speak into your spirit the things he wants to say. Because whether you're a mechanic or whether you're a lawyer, whatever you do, a nurse, a doctor, whatever you do, Jesus wants to use you in the marketplace to minister for him. So, you've sat long enough. Would you mind standing? And I just want to give you a couple of instructions. Are you good with closing us in prayer in a minute? So, if you have questions at all about the search team process and the pastor and Pastor Mick and all that kind of stuff, there are going to be some search team members and some LBA members that are going to be here to answer questions concerning that. And again, going back to a totally different subject, I'm so grateful for the people that I see in this room that were on the search team on your LBA. Glenn Watts, I didn't know you could become more esteemed. You're so good looking. Then you added the goatee beard thing, and man, you're better looking than you were 3 weeks ago. Knock it off, man. And just tell you what, if you want to talk to them, they're going to be here. There's a part of our story that you didn't hear this morning, just because we could just go on for another 2 hours, 2 or 3 hours, just to different stories. But part of the story of our relationship, of our friendship, started off because of a time that Dave and I spent together, and then a time of his precious brother, Ted, praying over me. And I've taken slews of pastors to Madison, Wisconsin, just to hang out with Dave and to hang out with Ted and his sister, Julie. This should be prayed for. If you're a marketplace person, Dave's going to close us in prayer, but then I just want to encourage you, if you want to be prayed over, like if God has really touched your heart and you just say, man, I would just love to have someone pray for me, then Dave and Ted and Julie are going to be right down here, and Jesse are going to be right down here. They would love the privilege of just praying for you. We're not going to keep you here long. It's not the thing. But if you just feel like, man, because here's the deal. We want you to feel an anointing. Just as we prayed for Luke, and Amanda, and we anointed them to go do what God is calling them to do up in Traverse City at Journey Church. We want to anoint you and commission you to go do the things that God has called you to do in this city and in this region. And this team of people would love the privilege of being able to do that, whatever you do. So I want to encourage you to come up here. If you have the extra couple of minutes, and these guys just want to pray over you, and it will bless your life in a huge, huge way. So we're done. Would you pray?
I want to pray for two groups in closing. One is this group. When Teddy and Jess were little, they were at the health club, and there was all kinds of kids in the playrooms and stuff like that. But when I, as a father, would walk up to the door at whatever time it was time to go home, I would yell, "Hey, kids, it's time to go home." There could be 50 kids in the room. Only two ran to the door. If you're one of those today that you know the Holy Spirit is touching your heart, you're saying, "I'm hearing truth, and I want to be adopted into that family. I want to become a child of God. I want to give my heart and my life to Christ. I know all about God. I've heard about God." So did all those little kids in the playroom. They all know who I was. I'm the one that would bring them Tootsie Rolls and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, when Jesus Christ comes back, the ones that go with him are his children. It's not the ones that knew about God. "Oh, I knew Mr. Gary." No, that's not how it works. Children, come home. If you're one of those people today, come. I don't know how you do it in this church. I want to pray for you. That's all. I don't care how you do it in this church. I want you to just come up here and let me pray for you and say, "I want to give my heart to Christ, and I'm going to pray with you right here." Because nothing really matters more than that, that you become his child. The other group I'd love to pray for are those in the marketplace that say, "You just spoke life into my spirit. I haven't heard anybody tell me that's, I haven't heard that before. That's exactly who I am. You nailed it." I want my brother and sister and daughter and myself probably to pray for you over here. And in closing, I just want to say this was a pastor and a business person functioning together inside the four walls of this local church. Isn't that a beautiful thing? A priestly anointing, giving me authority to speak truth to you in the name of Jesus Christ. He doesn't dislike me. He trusts me. I submit my leadership and my authority to him. What a beautiful picture. What if every marketplace person in this room said, "I'll humble myself. I'll come under the submission of my pastoral and my church, my local church." And then what if every pastor called you forward and anointed you and said, "You were made to go out. Go out through those doors, put your cleats on the turf and run like the wind. Advance our Father's kingdom outside." That's one of the things that's happening right here. We're demonstrating to you what it looks like for a pastor and a marketplace person to function together. If that stirs your heart, come on this side. I want to have my family pray over you, because you're going to be given and unlocked doors with keys that will help change your region. But it's only the anointing of God that breaks the yoke.
Okay. Heavenly Father, would you just pray with me? Heavenly Father, I pray right now for courage for people to come forward, either to accept you and receive you as their Lord and Savior. Pray that you'd give them an incredible amount of courage. I pray for people to come forward also who just want to be prayed for concerning their marketplace and serving in that way. I pray that you would indeed unlock things. Jesus, we pray that ultimately you would be glorified and lifted up. We're so thankful for the way that you called us, that you gifted us, that you anointed us to go run in the marketplace and do the things you've called us to do. And I pray that today would be a defining day in people's lives, and they would no longer see themselves as second-class citizens, but they would see themselves as fully anointed by you to go run in the marketplace, whatever that looks like for them. Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you're going to continue to do. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. And whatever we do, in word or deed, help us to do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in his name that we pray. And everybody said amen.